You know, when you look at the infrastructure of a modern digital business today, it is genuinely staggering how often the entire operation hinges on just, well, a single point of
Well,
failure.
absolutely. It's way more common than people think.
Right, like you wouldn't run a financial institution where only one single teller knows the combination to the vault.
Yeah, and they just keep it memorized in their head.
Exactly. But in early stage tech, we see this constantly. You have this massive code base, hundreds of thousands of lines of logic, and effectively one person hand-tightening the deployment process.
Just kind of hoping the application doesn't collapse under user load, right?
Pretty much. And that's why we're here today. Welcome to today's deep dive into the source material. We're breaking down some really crucial insights from CI/CD pipeline strategy for startups, the 2026 growth system.
It's a great piece, really timely.
It really is. And our mission for you today is to explore why a modern CI/CD pipeline is no longer just some back-end IT chore to be scheduled for later.
Right, it's not a nice to have anymore.
No, in 2026, it is the fundamental operating system for turning product ideas into actual customer value.
Okay, let's unpack this.
What's fascinating here is that we have to fundamentally reframe what a pipeline actually is. For a long time, it was viewed as an engineering convenience, you know, like a nice-to-have automation script.
Something to save the developers a few clicks.
Exactly, but that completely misses the point. A CI/CD pipeline is ultimately a trust engine.
A trust engine, I like that.
Yeah, it is the core mechanical layer that protects a startup from the absolute chaos of manual deployments.
Yeah.
When a company relies on manual checklists, or like you said, one specific developer who holds all the configuration secrets in their head.
The vault combination.
Exactly, the vault combination.
Ah.
When they do that, they're carrying an existential amount of hidden risk.
And it's risk that usually explodes the moment the company gains any real traction, right? It's kind of like trying to scale this wildly popular restaurant where the head chef never actually wrote down the recipe.
But that's a perfect way to look at it. They are just throwing ingredients into pans from memory. And everyone in the dining room is thrilled because the food is coming out fast, but the business is carrying this insane structural vulnerability.
Because they're basically cooking on a tightrope.
Right. If that chef gets sick or they just get overwhelmed by a massive surge of orders, the entire kitchen grinds to a halt. Every new ticket is a high-wire act.
And to understand why this trust engine becomes non-negotiable so quickly, you really have to look at the reality founders face when trying to scale a team.
The pressure cooker.
The ultimate pressure cooker. I mean, customers demand new features, investors are demanding proof of momentum, sales teams need flawless demos to close enterprise deals.
And meanwhile, customer support is just buried in tickets demanding bug fixes.
Right. And without a pipeline, teams try to satisfy all those competing pressures through sheer brute force individual effort.
Just work harder, push faster.
Exactly. And that dynamic, it actually works for the first few weeks of a company's life, but it fundamentally breaks down mathematically. Well, when you have 5 or 10 developers all pushing complex code into the same central repository without automated conflict checks, the probability of one person's feature silently overwriting or just completely breaking another person's feature skyrocket.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You end up with state conflicts, corrupted databases, broken authentication flows. Suddenly, what should be an urgent but totally simple bug fix becomes this tense, sweat-inducing archaeological dig through a broken code base.
Because fixing the login screen might accidentally break the billing portal.
Exactly.
And nobody realizes it until a customer's credit card gets declined.
Which is the worst way to find out. The pipeline doesn't eliminate human judgment or product trade-offs, though. It just introduces necessary mechanical guardrail.
It makes the path safer.
Yes, it forces a standardization of quality. Automated build checks catch the syntax errors and missing dependencies. Protected branches act as a physical barrier, slowing down risky code merges so peer review can actually happen.
So you preserve the team's overall velocity by eliminating the catastrophic breakages.
Right, the breakages that force everyone to drop what they're doing and go fight fires.
Okay, I need to push back on this premise, though.
Go for it.
If I'm a founder and I have, I don't know, maybe 6 months of runway left, setting up protected branches, staging servers, and elaborate rollout plans feels a lot like corporate theater.
It sounds like red tape.
Yeah. It sounds like slowing down to speed up, which is a luxury I simply do not have. Why shouldn't a startup just push code straight to production until they actually achieve product market fit?
I hear that all the time, but the reality is pushing straight to production without a net is exactly how you bleed out your runway debugging self-inflicted wounds.
Really? Just from bugs.
Yes. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, a heavy, bloated, enterprise-grade pipeline built too early will absolutely be bypassed by a stressed team.
Because the friction is just too high.
Exactly. They will find workarounds. That is why early pipeline controls must be incredibly lightweight. We are talking about a minimum viable pipeline.
An MVP for the pipeline itself.
Right. It doesn't need enterprise-level complexity. It just requires consistency.
Okay, so if we strip away the enterprise bloat, what are the physical mechanics of an MVP that actually protects a small team without bogging them down?
It centers on four highly specific mechanical rules.
Okay, lay them on me.
First, every commit must build. Second, every pull request requires human review. Third, every deployment is traceable. And fourth, every production change must have an automated rollback path.
Okay, let's unpack the mechanism behind that first rule.
Yeah.
Every commit builds. Why is that the foundational step?
Because it works on my machine is the most dangerous phrase in software development.
Well, I've heard that one before.
We all have. When a developer writes code, it runs locally in their specific environment with their specific software versions.
Right.
When a commit triggers an automated build, the pipeline pulls that code into an isolated, sterile container and attempts to compile it from scratch.
So it mechanically proves that the code is functionally viable in a totally neutral environment.
Exactly. It prevents a developer from merging code that relies on hidden local dependencies.
That makes a lot of sense. And then the fourth rule, the rollback path. How does a pipeline physically execute a rollback faster than a human could?
Well, when a modern pipeline deploys an application, it doesn't overwrite the old code line by line. It packages the entire application into a discrete, immutable image and just routes user traffic to it.
Okay, so if the new deployment triggers a massive spike in error rates,
an automated rollback doesn't require a developer to frantically rewrite code at 3 a.m. The pipeline simply redirects the traffic router back to the previous stable image.
Wow.
The application recovers in seconds.
That shifts the conversation entirely. Because the pipeline is ultimately a delivery mechanism. And a delivery mechanism is only as good as the raw material flowing through it.
Right.
Here's where it gets really interesting. We have to look at the intersection of CI/CD and AI-assisted coding.
Oh, yes. This is huge right now.
In 2026, relying on AI coding tools without a hardened pipeline is like putting a rocket engine on a bicycle.
That is exactly what it is.
I mean, the speed is incredible, but if you don't upgrade the brakes, you're going to crash.
Yeah.
It's like hiring an army of incredibly fast, highly enthusiastic junior developers who suffer from severe amnesia.
Yes. That amnesia is the core vulnerability. They can write thousands of lines of boilerplate code in seconds, but they don't remember your database architecture.
And they have zero context for your actual business logic.
Exactly. AI-assisted development is a massive accelerator for prototyping and generating tests. But the dark side of that acceleration is that AI routinely introduces insecure cryptographic patterns.
Or hallucinated API endpoints.
Oh, all the time. And code that, frankly, nobody on the engineering team actually understands.
Code arrives at the repository incredibly quickly, but the velocity is completely decoupled from architectural coherence.
The phrase used for this phenomenon is unreviewed acceleration.
Unreviewed acceleration. It captures the danger perfectly. Just because the AI's code compiles cleanly in the automated build doesn't mean it handles customer data securely.
Right. The pipeline serves as the mechanical enforcer of syntax and security rules, but human peer review acts as the contextual anchor.
So you still need a human in the loop.
You need a senior technical owner to maintain standards for the things AI completely misinterprets. Naming conventions, complex state management across microservices, authentication handshakes.
Human review ensures the product remains a cohesive system rather than just, you know, a fragmented collection of AI-generated snippets.
Precisely.
But even with senior engineers reviewing the logic, human eyes get fatigued.
Oh, absolutely.
They miss edge cases. So how does the system physically prove the logic holds up under pressure before it reaches the customer? Especially if a startup doesn't have the resources to test every single line of code.
You apply a simple pragmatic rule. You test where failure hurts the business most.
Okay.
You abandon the idea of 100% test coverage on day one, which is an enterprise vanity metric anyway, and you focus entirely on risk reduction.
Walk me through how you map that out mechanically for different types of products.
Sure. If you are building a SaaS platform, structural failure hurts most in the core user flows.
Like logging in.
Right. You write automated tests that mechanically simulate a user attempting to log in, upgrading their billing tier, accessing permission-restricted data. If the billing API fails, the pipeline halts the deployment.
What if you're building an API-first product?
Then the critical tests must simulate traffic spikes to verify rate limits and ensure the JSON response structures don't randomly change and break your client's integrations.
And for AI-enabled products, I imagine the testing looks radically different since the output isn't entirely deterministic.
It requires a completely different testing mechanism. You focus heavily on output validation and prompt regression.
Meaning what exactly?
The pipeline runs a suite of automated inputs through the AI model before deployment to verify that the guardrails are still intact.
Just proving that a subtle code change didn't accidentally instruct the customer service chatbot to start offering massive discounts.
Or hallucinating teachers that don't even exist.
Exactly. Security has to follow a similar logic, right? Most founders treat security as a Series B problem. They assume they can just slap a coat of paint on the application right before a venture capital audit.
Waiting for an audit to implement security is incredibly reckless.
Yeah.
Security mechanisms must be embedded into the pipeline from the very first commit. There is a framework known as the OWASP Software Assurance Maturity Model.
Right, the SAM model.
Yes, which operates on the premise that security isn't a binary switch you flip. It is a progressive maturity process applied in layers based on your actual threat level.
Meaning you don't need to build Fort Knox infrastructure when you only have 10 beta users.
You don't. You implement automated low-friction controls. The most critical is dependency scanning.
Because modern software is built on thousands of open source third-party libraries.
Right. A pipeline should mechanically hash every single library in your code base and cross-reference it against a global database of known vulnerabilities.
So if a developer accidentally imports a library with an active exploit, the pipeline physically blocks the build.
Instantly. You also implement secret scanning so the system catches hard-coded API keys before they are pushed to a public repository.
Basically preventing those catastrophic, unforced errors that destroy early customer trust just when you need momentum the most.
Exactly.
Okay, so once the code clears those security hurdles, it actually deploys. But deploying code without rich observability is like flying a plane blindfolded.
That's terrifying.
Right. You might take off successfully, but you have absolutely no idea if you're about to hit a mountain. You can ship a severely broken checkout process, but your leadership team won't know the business is burning until angry customers start canceling their accounts.
This raises an important question, though. How do you physically distinguish a successful deployment from a silent, cascading failure?
Because the server might be perfectly healthy while the front-end interface is completely broken.
Yes. A healthy deployment flow requires a strict physical separation of environments: local development, a testing sandbox, staging, and production.
But staging is essentially useless unless it's database architecture and configuration perfectly mirror production, right?
Totally useless. If staging doesn't mirror production, developers end up debugging environment mismatches rather than actual code flaws.
Right.
But separated environments only provide a staging ground. The observability you mentioned, that blindfold that is removed through telemetry, logs, metrics, distributed tracing, and synthetic uptime checks.
Which moves product quality from an anecdotal feeling to an actual empirical metric.
Because without telemetry, engineering meetings are driven by feelings. The application feels sluggish today. Or I think the new search feature is working.
Seems fine to me.
Right. Telemetry provides the empirical baseline. If a deployment goes live and the pipeline observability tools detect that the average API latency just spiked by 2 seconds.
Or the database is suddenly exhausting its connection pool.
You don't need to guess.
Yeah.
The system alerts you immediately, and leadership can make an objective, data-driven decision to initiate that automated rollback we discussed earlier.
This reveals a fascinating dynamic about technical debt, actually. The common perception is that technical debt is just poorly written, messy code.
Sure.
But a weak deployment pipeline physically creates technical debt by altering developer behavior.
Oh, it alters their psychology completely.
Yeah.
If pushing code to production requires 3 hours of manual SSH access to servers, tweaking configuration files, and just praying the database doesn't lock up,
developers will do everything in their power to avoid deploying.
Yes, they will start batching their work.
Right, they'll say, I'll just wait and deploy these 50 minor features all at once on a Friday afternoon.
And the mechanism of failure in batching is severe. When you deploy 50 changes simultaneously and the application crashes, you have absolutely no idea which of the 50 commits caused the failure.
The team just loses hours trying to isolate the variable.
Exactly. A mature CI/CD pipeline doesn't magically rewrite bad code, but it radically slows down the accumulation of technical debt by forcing small, incremental changes through a highly visible automated path.
The theory is airtight. Protect the code base, mechanize the testing based on risk, and build a digital nervous system.
Sounds great on paper.
Right. But let's bring this down to business reality. Founders love buying software. If a founder is sold on this 2026 growth system, why shouldn't they just purchase a massive new vendor tool, set up a dashboard, and call it a day?
Because treating a pipeline as a vendor purchase is a fundamental misunderstanding of the system.
How so?
Dashboards lighting up green is a measure of activity. And activity feels productive. It feels like work is happening. But building a trust engine requires measuring business outcomes.
Like what?
An outcome is a concrete reduction in mean time to recovery when a bug actually occurs. An outcome is a measurable decrease in the cycle time from a product manager writing a specification to a customer actually utilizing that feature.
So the implementation has to be a phased operational shift, not just a software installation.
Yes. The standard playbook for this transformation maps out over 90 days.
Walk me through that. What happens in the first 30 days?
Days 1 through 30 are entirely about foundational hygiene. You standardize the version control system, enforce branch protection rules, mandate pull request reviews, and get the most basic automated compilation running.
Basically, you stop the bleeding.
You build the walls.
Okay, then days 30 to 60.
You introduce the mechanical safety nets. You implement the targeted automated tests for your core revenue flows. You integrate the dependency hashing for security.
Right, secret scanning and all that.
Yep. You spin up the staging environment and you rigorously define and test the rollback mechanisms.
And by day 90, the system is fully operational.
Day 90 is when you mature the telemetry. You wire up the distributed tracing, you standardize release notes so the sales and support teams actually know what engineering is shipping.
That's always helpful.
Very helpful. And you establish a recurring audit of technical debt.
Think about what happens when you operate in a hyper-competitive market. The text mentions Orange County, which is a great microcosm for this.
Oh, absolutely.
If your startup is targeting clients out of an ecosystem like that, where capital is tight and expectations are massive, your customers have absolutely zero switching costs.
None.
If your digital experience is sluggish, or if a Friday deployment breaks the reporting dashboard all weekend, those users don't call your support team to complain.
No, they just open a new tab and migrate to your competitor.
The tolerance for sloppy technical execution is zero.
And this is exactly why the 90-day implementation must transition into a permanent, recurring review cadence.
Right.
The pipeline requires monthly reviews for operational bottlenecks and quarterly reviews for budget and strategic alignment.
Because if nobody is actively auditing the system, it naturally suffers from drift.
Exactly. Security vulnerabilities go unpatched. Database queries slow down. AI models begin hallucinating outside their guardrails. The system must be actively maintained to ensure it continuously aligns with business value.
You cannot just set it and forget it. It is a living, breathing mechanical system.
Precisely.
Which brings us back to our core mission for you today. A CI/CD pipeline is not a bloated enterprise luxury or an IT afterthought. It is a fundamental trust engine.
It really is.
It ensures your engineering team can trust the code they merge. It ensures leadership can trust the delivery dates they promise to investors. And ultimately, it ensures your customers can trust the reliability of the product they are actually paying for.
In 2026, trust is simply too fragile to leave to manual checklists and crossed fingers.
So what does this all mean for you? We've explored the structural mechanics, the progressive roadmap, and the empirical business value of a modern pipeline. But there's a deeper layer here, a final thought to mull over as you analyze your own organizational structures.
Yeah.
If a true CI/CD pipeline effectively removes the dependency on that one hero developer, the only person who supposedly possesses the architectural knowledge to save the day at 2 a.m., does building this pipeline fundamentally rewrite the entire culture of a startup?
That's the real question.
Does implementing these mechanical guardrails force a shift from a culture of hero worship to a culture of collective ownership and shared reality? If the pipeline rigorously protects the application, then a junior developer can deploy a feature just as safely as the CTO.
And the hero is no longer the exhausted engineer fighting the fire. The hero is the invisible system that prevented the spark from igniting in the first place.
It changes the entire definition of what a mature, resilient engineering culture looks like.
It completely shifts the paradigm.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the source material. We hope it gave you some powerful structural frameworks to think about how you build, scale, and trust the systems you are creating. Until next time, keep building smart.